Hey guys, what's up? It is Dangerous ASMR and it is that time again. It's Wednesday. It's actually Wednesday. I'm recording this at like 10:55 my time. And it is Q&A time again. I'm excited. I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to it. Again, I don't really read these in advance, so my apologies if I am a little, I don't know what to do, because I'm just kind of reading it firsthand and letting you know my thoughts. So hopefully I don't horrify too many of you. And yeah, let's get going. I'm already failing. Okay. I'm going to start from where I last left off, obviously. This next question comes from Papa Natsuri, and there's actually three different questions. So the first one is, how much time do you spend interacting with people on your channel / Patreon, and how much time you would like to spend on it? It really depends on the day. I would say probably at least an hour a day, sometimes more, because I do have like the higher levels where I'll do voice chats once a month, or like some patrons I'll text throughout the day, you know, back and forth. But then obviously some days like I'm kind of out of commission if I'm feeling like crap or I'm super, super busy. So I'd say probably on average an hour. Some days it's been as much as like 3 or 4 hours in the day. How much time would I like to spend on it? I mean, if I had like an unlimited amount of time, I would just do it constantly, because I have met some really, really awesome people through Patreon. You guys are just super kind and creative and interesting and fun. So if I had a lot of time, I would just do it throughout the day. But it gets harder the more people that you have. Not that I'm complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. But the more people you have in the audience, the harder it is to dedicate a large amount of time to like one or two people, which can kind of suck because I really like getting to know you guys. But yeah, I'd say about an hour or two a day. What is your favorite kink to make into an audio? And which one do you look forward to do again the most? My favorite kinks. I mean, I'm really big into like the vampire biting, blood sucking thing. I think that is so hot. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, like I had such a thing for vampires ever since I was like a teenager. And then it has continued ever since like I was 14. I've just like, yeah, vampires are fucking hot. Let's be honest. Not the sparkly Twilight kind, but the actual like dangerous, demony vampire, blood sucking fiend kind is just so hot. So yeah, biting, drinking, very hot. When I look forward to do or do again, I'm really looking forward to that Venus one. I know it's silly, but just the idea of somebody being totally paralyzed but able to feel everything, and being totally subject to her sexual curiosities just like really does it for me. How in the fuck do you find the courage to record yourself when you're sick? I don't know if it's courage so much as it is just me saying, you know, screw it. You guys are honestly like really, really supportive. And so I know even if I'm recording myself when I'm sick, 90% of the audience is still going to be rallying behind me, which is really, really cool. So it's easy to be courageous when you know that most people are going to have your back. So it's pretty neat. Layton says, who's the most famous person you think you could take in a fight? Betty White. I've got that bitch. I could fucking take her down. I know she's a scrappy old lady, but I got her. I could totally kick her ass. Alberto Cruz says, I know everyone's asking you when you first wanted to do ASMR, but what I want to know is, when did you first realize your voice was very pleasing to the ears? This was actually when I was taking a class, and it was public speaking, and we had to do a lot of like presentations, and I still remember getting the critique from a couple of instructors. One instructor said, you sound like you should be reading the news. He's like, you sound like a newscaster. And one of them complained that my voice was too soothing. He actually said, you know, you did a really good job, but maybe try and like add some like vacillations in your voice, because your voice was so soothing. I felt like I was going to fall asleep. And it wasn't until I started, you know, listening to ASMR and everything that I'm like, you know, I would joke that I should have like I should host a radio station, and we could do radio at like 3 a.m. and soothe all the truckers to sleep. Be like, this is 99.6 relaxing radio for your ears. Now, let's listen to some soothing classics. And just see how many people we could just get to crash, which is kind of sadistic and evil, but yeah. So that's when I thought it was such a strange thing to say, but now I can kind of get it. Spart asks, will you step on me? Sure, I'll absolutely step on you. But heels or no heels? I have to ask, like, how painful do you want it? J-Man 1892 asks, what's the weirdest request you've ever gotten? And so far, which of your characters you play is your favorite? Weirdest request, I don't really want to get into it because people's kinks are really personal. And I feel like if somebody is going to put themselves out there like that, then I owe it to them to keep it kind of between us. But I've definitely gotten some strange kinks, bodily noises and violent, very violent things. Just that's my generic answer. My favorite character to play, I wanna say the serial killer. I just really, really enjoy playing her. Something about that kind of sardonic, psychopathic, give no fucks attitude. It's just really fun. She's also really, really fun to write. I know she's not, you know, most people's favorite character, but I really enjoy playing her, like a lot. Jesse asks, am I currently dating? I am both dating and raisining. I do enjoy dried fruit quite a bit. I'm not going to answer personal questions. Shame, shame. Okay. Razé Jean-Paul says, you are a prisoner by a scientist. What do you hate more, brainwashing or physical pain? What kind of physical pain? Because I'm kind of sadomasochistic, I have this side of me that I enjoy seeing how far I can be pushed. So in some sense, I do enjoy physical pain. But, you know, if we're talking about breaking my bones, no, I don't enjoy that. Brainwashing actually wouldn't really bother me that much. I feel like it wouldn't work. But even if it did, I'm kind of curious. So I would say physical pain, assuming he's going to be cutting off limbs or body parts of me or really, really physically damaging me for like a, you know, a permanent way, then physical pain for sure. Okay. Medic says, doubling down on what a few other people asked, what's your artistic process for finding the voice and tone for a new character? And like I said, a lot of it is, it just kind of comes to me. I don't know how to say it other than a lot of times if I'm writing a character, because a lot of my newer characters I tend to write, the voice just kind of comes through when I'm writing it. The pace of the words or the manner in which the character is addressing the listener. To me, it ends up kind of creating itself over time. There's not really a process where I sit. Like, I've done one before. Like, I've done some where I'll record a voice and I'll listen back and I'll be like, that is not right. And I'll have to redo the whole thing because I just didn't get the right feel for it. But really, I don't have a distinct process. It's just kind of, it happens when it happens, and I know the voice when I feel it and it feels right, really. Big John asks, what do you like to do for fun? Do you like to read? And if so, what are some of your favorite books? I do like to read. I do. When I was a kid, we grew up in Arizona and we had no air conditioning because my parents did not have a lot of money when we were growing up. So I would spend so much of my free time at the library because, not just because I love to read, but because they had air conditioning. So that's where I really learned to love and appreciate books, especially because we had like no cable and we had like two television stations. It was so bad. We did not have a lot of money. So there wasn't a lot to do around my house. Like we didn't have a lot in the way of electronics or anything. So most of my free time was spent reading books. As a result, like I said, I don't really have favorite books. I want to say the one that impacted me the most as a kid, and this shouldn't be that surprising, was the book Misery by Stephen King. Of course, it would involve like kidnapping, and I didn't even realize it until I was an adult. All these things that I loved as a child and as a teenager and everything kind of came together in this whole violent kidnapping seduction kind of thing. Misery, I loved that book. I loved how you could create this book and this intrigue in this world basically inside the mind of this person who was held captive by this crazy woman. I found it so absolutely enthralling, and I read it over the course of like a day or two, and I remember I was so sad when it ended because I could never have that first experience back again about reading this book and really feeling it for the first time. And I was like envious of people that got to pick it up and really read it and experience it for the first time because it was something magical in that. So I would say that that book always will probably have a spot in my heart and my mind for impacting me so much. What I like to do for fun, you know, reading, watching like police interrogations and 911 calls and true crime documentaries. And I like to cook and bake a ton, like way too much. I'm actually going to make cookies today, I think. Like I shouldn't, but it's been stuck in the back of my mind for like 2 weeks and I really want to make them. Probably eat them for dinner because I'm going to eat way too much. I know I will. Okay. Todd Carney asks what my favorite moment is in Troll 2. God, that one is so freaking hard to answer. There's so many good moments. Oh, when the kid pees on all the food to stop people from eating it, and the dad gets really mad and picks him up. It's like taking him to his room, and he's like, "You can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it." Like, I love that line to the point where that's a plaque up in my house because I fucking love that line. It's so ridiculous. The scene where the guy is making out with that witch troll woman in disguise and they're making out with a cob of corn and then like the RV fills with popcorn. I kind of love the homoerotic overtones of like the teenage guy is like sleeping in the same bed together in the RV, like topless. That was really interesting. God, there's so many good scenes. Of course, like, you know, they ate her and then they're going to eat me. Oh my God. Like everybody fucking knows that one. So many good. I can't even. The entire movie is my favorite moment. Kiro Yoromoto, excuse me, asks, you find yourself in some super fancy mafia/big bad owned apartment building. Do you fight your way out, play cool to pretend you belong and live the high life, or construct a makeshift fort in a hidden corner to eat all of the delicious food, but not have to fake out the guards all the time? The question is, how do I find myself? Do I like wake up? And is it possible for me to pretend I belong? Because I don't want to fight my way out unless it's being guarded by Betty White. I don't think that I could get out. They do have delicious food, though. There's guards. If I could pretend I belong long enough to eat the delicious food and maybe steal some nice things and then be like, oh, shit. I forgot I have an appointment to see the gynecologist about this horrible burning diarrhea I have, and it's going to spew everywhere if I don't leave right now. I know I'm seeing a gynecologist. I picked the wrong doctor. Fuck. I'm going to go see my poop doctor about my explosive poop. You better let me out or it's going to explode everywhere. And then hope that they let me out. And then not only do I have the delicious food, but I've also escaped. You know, and hopefully the burning poop was just a lie and not the truth, because then I also have burning poop, in which case I really do need to see a doctor. Okay, Jeremy Knight asks, what are your favorite types of erotic role plays to record? Anyone where I get to play the very dominant, seductive type. So I guess most of them. It's just really fun to play that character that gets to be deep and dark and seductive. It's very fun. It's super, super fun. It's way more fun to be the dom than it is to be the sub when I'm recording these. Like, I can be submissive in the erotics, but my absolute favorite ones to do are the ones where I'm taking charge and I'm pinning you down and I'm having my way with you. Those are my favorites. It's super fun. All right, let's see. Okay. Panem asks, do you prefer movies or series? Ooh. Really, really depends on my mood. I have a big thing for anthologies. I love anthologies. And obviously, I'm not old enough to have watched it when it first came out, but like HBO's Tales from the Crypt show, I have them all on DVD and I fucking love them. Like, they're ridiculous and corny and old and fantastic. And yeah, anthologies. I love anthologies and series, but a really good movie can be amazing too. What's the last one you saw? Oh, fuck. I've been watching Mindhunter on Netflix. I don't tend to watch as many movies or series a lot lately. I just watch, like I said, I'll listen to, like, 911 stuff or true crime stuff that tends to be, like, documentaries and things like that that are on YouTube. So I don't tend to really sit down and watch stuff anymore. But Mindhunter, I've been watching that one. It was a recommendation from one of my wonderful patrons, and I'm actually really enjoying it. Alex Willett asks, have you ever heard of Warhammer 40K? And if so, what was your exposure? If not at all, would you like to learn more? I know I've heard that name before, but I have not heard of it enough to actually know what any real thing about it. And sure, I'd love to learn more. Please tell me, unless you're selling me something, in which case, fuck off. Okay, C. Nugent asks, how much time do you spend making audios? Do you have a job beside this, or is this more of a side thing? I do have a job beside this. What is free time? Please, somebody tell me. how much time do I spend making audios? God, on average, it probably is a full-time job, like 40 hours a week. A short audio, unless it's like a Q&A thing, I'm not really doing anything. A short audio will probably take me start to finish about 6 hours to do. And that's including customs. I do the same amount of work on a custom that I will on like a traditional one for my channel, just because I'm not going to give somebody less quality just because I have a smaller audience for it. But yeah, like each audio is about 6 hours. So I would say I probably spend 36, 40 hours a week. If you include some of the time I spend doing, extra like collaboration stuff for people or recording lines on top of that and emails and everything, it'd be at least 40 hours a week. Let's see. Doomslayer asks, what is your murder weapon of choice? That is a tough one. Oh, I mean, if we're talking about getting away with it fairly easily, I mean, shooting somebody I don't know would probably be like shooting one person I don't know in a place far from my house where there aren't any witnesses would be the easiest way to get away with murder. But it wouldn't be my weapon of choice if I was picking, like, what's my favorite way to kill a person? God, that's tough. That is really tough. I mean, guns are really impersonal, but they are good to get away with if you never get caught. Just because your risk of having, like, your fingerprints on things are so much lower. I mean, weapon of choice is a hard question. Like, poisoning can be really interesting. The whole injecting air into somebody's bloodstream and having it go to your heart and cause a possibly fatal heart attack has always been really kind of an interesting thought to me. And then, of course, there's always poisons. And then some that are very fast acting. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know. I would say, like, if I'm trying to get away with it, just handgun, murder strangers, possibly a long highway route. Prostitutes are always a good one, especially if they're prostitutes of color. you are much more likely to have people give very few shits about it. So that's not my recommendation. Don't kill people, but if you want to be hard to find, that's a real good way to do it. Favorite movie of 2019? Ask Chicken Dipper. I have no fucking idea. Whichever one you like. Oh, I don't know. I'm really bad at picking favorites. The only favorite I have is color, and that's blue. Steven as MovieBuff3000 asks what my favorite movie is. Again, I really am fucking terrible. So he says, someone asked me questions. Here's two more. What is another type of monster you would like to roleplay as? And do you prefer so bad they're good movies as incompetent low-budget affairs or big-budget disasters? What type of monster would I like to roleplay as? I think it'd be really fun to roleplay as a pod person. Not like in the Venus sense where you like rip their skin off and wear it as a suit, but where you're like one of those alien creatures where they actually replicate the person and you are basically this replication of a person you knew and be like, of course I'm your friend. What are you talking about? Like, that'd be really creepy, right? Like, your friend has been replaced by their doppelganger and you're trying to convince people that that's really your friend, but they're just like, you're crazy. Of course it's me. But of course, really not, you know. That'd be really fun. Or like a Frankensteinian back from the dead creation would be kind of fun. Do you prefer so bad they're good as I love them as incompetent low budget affairs because I feel like there's something really beautiful about the way that somebody who's a very low budget will try to go about to do the special effects, and the fact that they have so little money means that they have to go in a more creative route to get the special effects that they need or to get the actors that they need, who usually you're going to get shittier actors because you don't have the money to pay for decent ones. So I feel like low budget just all in all feels more organically shitty. I've seen some big budget crappy ones, but they're never as delightfully crappy as the really, really low budget ones. Those are by far my favorite. Beyond Trolls 2, I would also really recommend The Legend of Quilled Face. That is a terrible ripoff of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And the title itself, The Legend of Quilled Face. It's so beautiful. It's gorgeous. If you can find it, because I watched it forever ago with my mom. Forever ago, because she likes watching this with me, because of course she does. Okay, maybe one more before I end it. Like I said, this Q&A is just going to keep going on and on and on until I answer all your questions. As long as you guys don't mind, if it's getting kind of tedious, let me know down below and I'll try to switch it up from time to time. But otherwise, I'm just going to keep going. The last question is from Christian Simpson. So you have to do a variety of mouth sounds in your recordings, kissing, sucking, moaning, groaning, licking, and a whole lot more. What was the sound you had to make that made you at first feel really awkward, but you're now so comfortable doing it that you could record it on a public train? That would probably be orgasming. At first, I felt really awkward because I'm like, oh God, I hope the walls aren't like really thin. Because, you know, even like, I feel like when you're a kid and you learn to, you know, pleasure yourself, you learn to be quiet. Right? Like that's kind of a thing you naturally do. No teenager is sitting there moaning and groaning and screaming out when they're masturbating. You don't want your parents to find out. So to just let go and be loud and sexual when I'm recording, at first I was just like, oh God. It was a bit much for me. But then the other day I was out with a friend and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'll come on audios. And he was just like, come on, like, really? And I'm like, oh yeah. And then I demonstrated and he's like, oh my God, we're in the coffee shop. Please be quiet. People are looking. And nobody was like, I'll have what she's having. But they totally should have because it was quality performance. So yeah, I would say coming loudly. That is something I'm very comfortable with doing now. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for today's Q&A. I hope you guys enjoyed. I really enjoyed it yet again. And I will see you tomorrow with your regularly scheduled audio. It is something very special once again for this Friday's date. Hopefully you can figure out the theme of the audio. I'm very excited. I hope you're excited too. And I will talk to you next week. Bye, guys. Mwah.